With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got you covered with comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and confident looks you can count on. For over a decade, Mack Weldon has designed timeless, innovative menswear to help you move through the day with confidence. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MAC25. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code MAC25.
All right, y'all. Peace and blessings. God bless you all. I'm Jarvis Kingston, and I hope that y'all doing all right and staying strong and solid in these times that we're in. I pray that you have repented and that you are baptized. I pray that you are safe, protected, and prayed up. And I just hope that whatever situation that you're going through, that the Lord is with you, that he guides you, he protects you, he looks out for you, he comforts you. I pray that you stop backsliding, that you turn from your ways. I pray that you stay on that narrow path and keep fighting a good fight of faith. I pray that you become more strong and wise in the Lord. I pray that your mental health gets better. And I just pray that everything the Lord brings you through is to strengthen you, strengthen your faith, you know, make you have a more better heart, make you have better approach to things and helping people for the rest of your life. Amen. Yes, yes, y'all. Let us thank the Lord for another day. Let us thank the Lord for waking us up. Let us thank the Lord for protecting us coming in and coming out. Let us thank the Lord for food in our belly, clothes on our back, a roof over our head. Let us thank the Lord for just guiding us as we take it one day at a time in these times that we're in, you know. So much going on all four corners of the earth and a lot of things going on in spiritual warfare, but we have to keep on the armor of God. We got to stay strong, people, all right? Got to be firm, got to be faithful, steadfast, diligent, sober, alert, all of those things, amen. Yes, yes, y'all. Welcome, everybody. I appreciate all of you guys for listening and supporting. I love you all, praying for you all, and pray that the Lord turns things around for you in your situation, all right? And it is done, as he said, it is done, y'all, all right? So always believe in him and trust in him. Bless the person who trusts in the Lord, amen. Yes, yes, y'all. Welcome, body of Christ. Greetings, family. Shalom. What is going on with you all? Yes, yes, y'all. Just hope that we are all just getting more wise in these times that we're in and that we're not caught up in deception, all right? That we have stronger discernment, that we be more sober and much more on point and sharp about things, amen. Yes, yes, y'all. Welcome all peoples, all nations, all tribes, all languages, all tongues, all races, all faces, all four corners of the earth. Whether you are an Israelite or a Gentile, it is all right. Whether you are chosen or adopted, it is all right. Let us come together. Let us praise the Lord. Let us give him glory, praise, honor. Let us be together, united and one in the body of Christ. Amen. Yes, yes. Let us love the Lord our God with all of our mind, heart, and soul. Let us love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Let us obey the gospel. Let us obey his word. Let us obey the laws of his commandments. Let us obey his voice, all right? Let us be firm in the kingdom of heaven, and let us always keep winning souls. Let us bring so much people to the word and spread that gospel off four corners of the earth, amen? Yes, yes, y'all. So in today's message, I am going to continue the Bible reading series, all right? So yesterday, we finished up the book of John reading. We read from John chapter 12 all the way to John 21 and completed the whole rest of the book of John, all right? So now we are in the book of Acts. So we're going to get into the book of Acts. And as we continue reading the book of Acts from there, we'll close out with a priestly blessing. We'll close out with a prayer. And we'll also close out with giving all the praise, honor, and glory to the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And praise his only begotten Son who died for our sins. Amen. Yes, yes, y'all. So let us go into the book of Acts and go from there. Before I get into the book of Acts chapter 1, I would like to read the introduction and commentary before it, all right, to give us a synopsis of everything and go from there, all right? So here we go. All right, author, Luke, the audience, Theophilus, the date probably about AD 63. Setting, the message of Jesus Christ spreads quickly from Jerusalem to all parts of the Roman Empire. Essentials of Acts. By the time Luke had finished his biography of Jesus, he probably realized that someone needed to record the amazing events taking place in the young church that Jesus left behind. For his gospel, Luke had relied on firsthand accounts of people who knew Jesus. But Luke himself had also witnessed many of the events he records in Acts. The people of Acts walk with Jesus, even though they can't see him. While not perfect, they are willing to take action as God works through their lives. As you read Acts, identify with the characters. God wants to work through your life today. Read Acts for the possibilities. It is appropriate to pray, Lord, please do it again. What to look for in Acts: the arrival of the Holy Spirit, inspiring sacrificial deaths of early Christians, unexpected people who become believers, evidence that God doesn't always provide the easiest ways, assurance that God always makes sure his message gets through. Amen. All right, y'all. Acts chapter 1, here we go. Jesus taken up into heaven. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father had promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Matthias chosen to replace Judas. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the woman and Mary, with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David concerning Judas, who served as guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in this ministry. With the reward he got for his wickedness, Judas bought a field. There he fell headlong, his body burst open, and all his intestines spilled out. Everyone in Jerusalem heard about this, so they called that field in their language Akeldama, that is field of blood. For said Peter, it is written in the book of Psalms, may this place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it, and may another take his place of leadership. Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So they proposed two men, Joseph called Barsabas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs. Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias, so he was added to the 11 apostles. All right, so that's the book of Acts chapter 1 reading. All right, so as we review the book of Acts chapter 1 reading, it goes further into detail about Jesus being taken up to heaven and how he goes up from there, and that they will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And he is also telling his disciples that it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So the Holy Spirit is the helper, the comforter, the counselor, all those things. Like, the Holy Spirit has multiple names too, but it all operates with the Father and Son as well. They all work together, all right? So the power is in the Holy Spirit, okay? And it's important to be moved by the Spirit. It tests all spirits. It tests all things as well, okay? And they go from there. They meet with Matthias and Joseph to replace Judas as they continue the ministry as well. And they just go from there, casting lots and deciding who the two men should be appointed to go along with the ministry, and it ended up being Matthias. All right. So it also discussed about Judas, his how he died and everything. And they called the place the field of the blood and things of that nature, and that no one should dwell in it. So they also prophesized and brought up what David was saying regarding Judas and Jesus as well. All right. So that covers up the book of Acts chapter 1. Before I go into the book of Acts chapter 2, I would like to read the commentary that is within Acts chapter 1, okay? So here we go. Today's Bible reading, Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Recommended reading, the book of John chapter 14, verses 23 through 29, the book of Acts chapter 2. The title of this commentary is called Waiting. 40 days after his resurrection, Jesus summoned his disciples to meet him on the Mount of Olives. Imagine their excitement, believing as they apparently did that this very day their master would establish his kingdom on earth and fulfill the great promise the Jews had clung to through centuries of suffering and exile. Christ would be king, not just of Israel, but of the whole world, and they would be at his side, judging the nations, reckoning accounts, rewarding the righteous. Centuries of injustice would be set straight. Finally, one of them burst out with the question they all wanted to ask: Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Jesus was sharp, rebuking in his reply, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority." He had already commanded them to wait in Jerusalem. Now he told them that a power would come to them there, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Then it was as if the universe breathed breath, putting a sea of space between him and them. Before they could protest, he was gone, ascended into a cloud. It is difficult to even imagine the wild emotions those 11 men must have experienced at that moment. Holy awe, terrifying fear. And what initial disappointment. They were left alone, outcast in their own land. They had few human resources, and on top of all that, they had been commanded to go back and wait. The hardest thing for all strong-willed men to do. For 10 days they waited, 120 of them in all, gathered together of one mind and continually in prayer. They waited, and then it came. With the force of 1,000 tornadoes, the power promised rested on them, and the Holy Spirit empowered these ordinary men to do the work of God. Each of the 11 became a giant of faith. As a result, within a century, half the then known world came to Christ. The disciples' decision to obey Jesus after the ascension proved a pivotal point of history. The world was never the same again. The disciples' realization that Christ is who he say he is compelled them to obedience. That is the historic reality of Christianity. Charles Carlson. Things to take away from this commentary. Why does the disciples' realization of Christ compel them to obedience? Have you come to realize, as the disciples did, that Christ is who he say he is, who he says he is? How has that realization impacted your life? How can you come to know Christ in an intimate way that leads to obedience? Amen. That's a very good reading right there, commentary on the book of Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. So they were praying together, waiting on the Lord, and the Spirit came upon them. So obedience and patience is very important in this walk with God. Faith, patience, and obedience, all right? So you truly need those things, you know? So it's very important that we ask the Lord for the Holy Spirit. It guides us and helps us in our day-to-day lives and doing the works of God. Amen. We can keep inspiring and helping more people become like disciples and get the Great Commission done, baptizing people and spreading the gospel. Amen. Yes, yes, y'all. So that was the book of Acts chapter 1 reading. Now, let us go to the book of Acts chapter 2. All right. The book of Acts chapter 2. Here we go. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? That how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and all in the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine. Peter addresses the crowd. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Mm-hmm. "Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death. Because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him an oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are afar off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. The fellowship of the believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with gladness and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. All right, so that is the book of Acts chapter 2 reading. Very, very powerful reading. All right, so as we review the book of Acts chapter 2, we can see here about what went down with the Holy Spirit comes at the Pentecost. All right, so as you can see, the Pentecost came and they were all together in one place, and then a wind came from heaven and filled the whole house, and then they all started speaking in tongues. The Holy Spirit enabled them to do those things. Amen. Yes, yes, y'all. So that Spirit came upon them, and you know and it was a very powerful moment. And then people came by and saw it, and there was multiple people. It was Judeans, Mesopotamians, it was Egyptians, it was all Asian people, Rome. It was all types of people there from different parts. Arabs too. They were all there, perplexed and amazed. You know, they were all speaking in tongues. All right, the Holy Spirit allowed that, enabled it. And then when Peter was with the 11, he raised his voice to the crowd, because the crowd was like kind of like, what is all this? They were kind of amazed and astonished by it. So they're kind of questioning it and mocking it a bit. And then Peter just addressed them and saying, hey, this has to be fulfilled of what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And then, you know, that's in the book of Joel chapter 2, which I love the book of Joel reading as well. And it goes and says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So that's very powerful right there. So it just shows that the Holy Spirit will be poured out on all people. All right. Black people, Latinos, Asian, white, Arab, whatever you are, the Holy Spirit will be poured out. All right. And men and women will be able to prophesy. Okay. So let there not be no spirit of division. All right. No separation, no prejudice spirits, no racism, no bias, prejudice, no sexism, what have you. The Lord is going to pour out his spirit on men and women. All right. So let us be understanding of that, fear the Lord and respect his power and how he ordained things and laid things out for us. Amen. And, you know, Peter was just really also telling the people to repent, get baptized and what have you. And also they all got repented and baptized. And it was about 3,000 of them that got baptized that same day. So that was very powerful and beautiful. You know, that wind came through. See, the Holy Spirit came in in a wind, and you all started speaking tongues. So that's very powerful and amazing. All right, so it's just that split second, that instant moment could just happen at any given time. All right, so let us be mindful of those things. All right, I would like to read the in commentary scripture as well within the book of Acts chapter 2, okay? So it's titled, God Pours Out His Spirit, the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 33. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. All right. So that is the review of the book of Acts chapter 2. All right. They also gathered in fellowship. They all ate and drank and had merry hearts. And they were all in awe and amazed by the miraculous signs that were done by the apostles. And they were all together, enjoying each other's company in the temple courts every day, fellowship and praising, eating bread in their homes and having glad hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. All right. So that was real peace and love within one another. All right. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So we have to keep more people got to become saved, man. More people got to repent, get baptized. More people need to experience the Holy Spirit and what have you. Amen. Yes, yes. So before I go into the book of Acts chapter 3, I would like to read the commentary that's within the book of Acts chapter 2, okay? So here we go. Watching God die, John. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." The book of John chapter 19, verses 26 through 27. It was a scene he would never forget, watching the blood seep out of Jesus' body, staining the wood of the cross darker. Something inside him resisted the idea of standing there. In fact, all the other men in his company had fled. But when Mary surged past the crowds to get closer to her son, John felt a sharp pang of guilt for his cowardly impulses. He couldn't leave her alone, and more, he couldn't leave Jesus to stare out at a sea of strangers. And so he went up to the cross, the only one of the 12 disciples to do so. John had been to funerals before. He had seen people mourn before, but never like this. He had never seen a woman cry as Jesus' mother had cried. John's memory went back to a story Mary had told him about Jesus' temple dedication. An old man named Simon, had held the infant Jesus in his arms. His face had beamed with joy as he had cradled the Messiah. But then a dark vision clouded his eyes, a vision of what his child would go through. This child, he predicted sadly, will pierce your soul like a sword. Jesus had pierced John's soul too. Even now in his agony, Jesus had a strength about him that John could not comprehend. What struck John was how entirely different the Lord's face looked from those of the two criminals. Their eyes were wild with terror. They would shriek in delirium until the guards couldn't take it anymore and thrust up sponges soaked with the wine and myrrh. This wasn't done from pity, but from a compulsion to shut them up. But Jesus didn't take the sedative. And when he died, it was almost though he simply unclenched his will and let his soul fly. It was difficult to articulate, but John saw it often in his dreams. Many years later, John would see the living Christ again in a vision while on a small island. This time, it wouldn't be the Jesus whom John had accompanied along dusty roads, but Jesus, the ruler of the universe with golden flames and swords. Yet somehow, of all the times and places he'd seen his Savior, it was the vision of Jesus on that cross that most captured John's heart. John was known as the disciple Jesus loved, and for John, that was the best title a person could possibly have. Amen. Back to the future. When you think about Jesus, what images, words, or stories first come to mind? Why? One of the more amazing aspects of the Bible is how fearless the disciples became after the resurrection. And what areas of your life do you need to greater fearlessness? John was called the disciple whom Jesus loved, and Peter was called the rock upon whom Jesus would build his church. If Jesus were to give you a nickname illustrating your relationship to him, what would you want it to be? What changes need to happen in your life to make this nickname true of you? The story continues. To learn more about God's love, read John's letters to the church, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. To learn about Jesus' second coming, read John's book of Revelation. All right, so that is the church note regarding John and a flashback to John's vision of seeing Jesus die before him and the moments transpiring about it, all right? And afterward, John having dreams and visions of Jesus, amen? So it's a very beautiful commentary to read regarding Jesus and his power, all right? And how awesome he is. So now, that was the book of Acts chapter 2 reading and commentary. Now, let us go to the book of Acts chapter 3. Peter heals the crippled beggar. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. At 3 p.m. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he held him up. He helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. And he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Amen. Peter speaks to the onlookers. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in a place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate. Though he had decided to let him go, you disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, 'The Lord your God will raise for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you.' Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from among his people." Indeed, all the prophets from Samuel and on, as many as have spoken, have foretold these days. And you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, "Through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed." When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. So that is the book of Acts chapter 3 reading. All right. So as we review the book of Acts chapter 3 reading, it goes more into detail about how Peter and John were just going up to the temple at the time of prayer, 3 p.m. And then a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put there every day to beg from those going in and out the temple courts. So when Peter and John saw this, they looked at him, you know, because he asked for money. But Peter and John looked straight at him and said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold, I do not have, but what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." That's some powerful words right there. In the name of Jesus. That name right there is the healing, the restoration, the deliverance, the power, the weight that holds right there. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus Christ. The name of Jesus of Nazareth. That name right there holds so much weight. It's unlimited. Amen. And they took him by the right hand and helped him up, and he was instantly on his feet. His feet and his ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went into them with the temples, walking, jumping, and praising God. That's so amazing and beautiful. Walking, jumping, and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to beg at the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. Peter's just telling them, like, "Hey, you know, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you know, our God did all of this. You know, it is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see." So I'm telling y'all, man, the name of Jesus and faith. That's it right there, man. That's it. All right, by faith in the name of Jesus, you know, that man was made strong. Amen. Got to have that faith, people. That faith got to be strong, people. Got to have that strong faith. Amen. Also, as we review the book of Acts chapter 3, Peter just goes more into detail about how it had to be foretold through all the prophets about Christ having to suffer, and just basically stressing that we have to repent and turn to God, and that our sins be wiped away, wiped out, and that the times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Excuse me. And also how he was just discussing Moses and the prophets, Samuel and onwards, and the covenant that God gave to Abraham. Amen. So it's always important to remember the covenants, the promises God gave us through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, through the prophets, through Moses, through Christ, through everything. Always got to remember the importance and the history of it all as well. All right. And always keep that to your heart and mind and soul. All right. So that is the book of Acts chapter 3 reading. Now let us go into the book of Acts chapter 4. All right. The book of Acts chapter 4. Here we go. Peter and John before the Sanhedrin. The priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, "By what power or what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw them from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. "What are we doing? What are we going to do with these men?" they asked. "Everybody living in Jerusalem knows they have done an outstanding miracle, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in this name." Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed, was over 40 years old. The believer's prayer. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voice together and prayed to God. "Sovereign Lord," they said, "you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one." Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider the threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. The believers share their possessions. All the believers were in one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. All right, so that is the book of Acts chapter 4 reading. Very powerful and amazing reading. So as we review the book of Acts chapter 4, it goes into further detail about how Peter and John were seized and taken up to prison for doing the works of God and healing and preaching and what have you. So they got taken into the Sanhedrin, and Caiaphas and the high priest, Annas, John, Alexander, the people, the high priest family, they brought John and Peter before them to question them. And they said, "By what power or name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to the cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. The stone that you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." And I just love the courage that Peter and John had. They faced those people and told them it was Jesus, and they put that stamp on it. Amen. It was all Jesus doing, and they were all just shocked and astonished by it. So they went from there. And what they're basically pressing them about, they're trying to get them to peer pressure in the fold and making them conform. And they said to them, "But to stop this thing from spreading further among the people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in this name." So they were so scared of the name of Jesus. They were so against it. They didn't want them doing it anymore. But Peter and John were bold. They held their ground. They stood 10 toes down. They were not lukewarm. Then they called them again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." Mm-hmm. After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. So you always got to be bold, people. Always got to be courageous and strong about this, all right? Never, never fold or conform. Never, all right? Always trust in the Lord, amen. Just want to read this in commentary scripture titled, "God Gives Boldness." The book of Acts chapter 4, verse 13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, unordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Amen. So and also the believer's prayer. When Peter and John came back to their people and reported all the chief priests and the elders had said to them, they all just raised their voices together and they all had to pray about it because they experienced a near-death experience. They experienced a crazy situation, so they had to come back together in prayer. Amen. When you deal with those real wild experiences, you go back into prayer, okay? You always stay prayed up, pray without ceasing all the time, but that was a very intense scenario for them, okay? And then the believers, they all shared their possessions. They were all together. They were all able to, make sure everybody was straight and nobody was lacking or struggling around them. Amen. So we got to be sharing, giving generous people, and not be so gritty or stingy about our possessions or blessings. We got to be giving, caring people all the time. All right. Got to always keep that in mind. Let us not make this about ourselves. Okay. Got to always make it about others too. All right. And then it goes further. They said, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Yes, boldly. Yes, yes, y'all. That's very powerful right there. And it also goes further into detail about Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. And the name Barnabas means son of encouragement. So in the book of Acts chapter 4, it also introduces Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus. So this just shows further proof how Israelites are all four corners of the earth, because this man was a tribe of Levi. He was a Levite. He was up in Cyprus. And we know Cyprus is in Europe. So we were really scattered all four corners of the earth, you know, because when you read the whole entire Bible, the whole Bible is based in Europe, Asia, and Africa, you know, and these other disciples, these other men of the Most High, they were all within Israel and outside of Israel through all the captivity and exile, all those different things. And even to this day, we are definitely all four corners of the earth, man. There are Israelites everywhere, people. Amen. So God's promise and covenants are so amazing and powerful. And shout outs to all you Israelites, all four corners of the earth, man. Much love to you all, and much love to you Gentiles as well, man. Much love to you all as well, okay? So what I would love to do before I read the book of Acts chapter 5 is read the commentary within the book of Acts chapter 4, all right? So here we go. Today's Bible reading, the book of Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 22. Recommended reading, the book of Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, the book of Acts chapter 22, verses 30 through, Acts chapter 22, verse 30, all the way through the book of Acts chapter 23, verse 11, and also the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 5 through 18, all right? The title of this commentary is Standing Tall. At a well-known company's national sales convention, a heralded speaker delivered a stirring motivational talk. However, he punctuated his speech with profanity and frequently used God's name in vain. Finally, a Christian salesman in the audience couldn't stand it any longer. He rose from his seat, stood on his chair, and shouted, "Please leave God out of it." With that, he sat down. The embarrassed speaker cleaned up the rest of his speech. But after the session, more people waited in line to shake the hand of the Christian man than that of the speaker. In your own experience, don't you find this to be true? In the face of an uncomfortable situation, many people are thinking the same thing. It's a safe bet that dozens of people in the crowd that day listening to the speaker were squirming in their seats as the profanity rained down. But it took one man to make the stand and speak up, leaving others to wish they would have done the same. The leaders of the infant church displayed even greater courage than this outspoken salesman. In the face of powerful, influential, and educated men, these ordinary men stood toe-to-toe with political and religious forces that sought to silence them. They didn't cower, give in, or give up. Instead, they stood bold and heroic, astonishing their adversaries, who knew only that these men had been with Jesus. Living a life that pleases God isn't always easy or popular. Speaking valiantly for Christ and courageously living a righteous life require living out our convictions and commitments as faithful men, standing tall for what's right, despite the foe or odds exacts a high price. In fact, we face war. We can prepare for the battle only by spending time with Jesus, the unshakable source of courage. In your life, there will be opportunities to speak up and defend what you know to be true. When the next challenge arises, remember that salesman standing on his chair. Resolve today that you will not be like one of those who were content to sit squirming in their seats. Amen. Things to take away from this commentary. Who do you know that courageously lives a righteous life? How often do you spend time with Jesus? What steps can you take to become more willing to speak valiantly for Christ? In other words, quote unquote, true courage does not consist in the absence of fear, but in doing what God wants, even when we are afraid, disturbed, and hurt. Quote, John White. All right, y'all. So that's the commentary regarding the book of Acts chapter 4. Standing tall, people, being bold and courageous. Amen. When you read the book of Proverbs, it says the righteous are bold as a lion. Amen. Let us be bold when we are declaring the Lord and Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and standing up for our beliefs and our rights and what have you, all right? We have to face against all this evil, so we got to be strong and hold it down, people, all right? You will be put in a multiple situations where you're going to have to be bold, amen? Me, you, whoever, everybody. So let us be bold about our faith and how much we love and serve the Most High and His Son. Amen. All right, y'all. So that's the book of Acts chapter 4 reading and commentary reading. Now let us go into the book of Acts chapter 5. All right. The book of Acts chapter 5. Here we go. Ananias and Sapphira, Acts chapter 5. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then the young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? Yes, she said, that is the price. Peter said to her, how could you agree to test the Lord? Look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in and, finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. The apostles healed many. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed. The apostles persecuted. Then the high priest and all his associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Go stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people the full message of this new life. At daybreak, they entered the temple courts as they had been told and began to teach the people. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there. So they went back and reported, we found the jail securely locked with the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside. On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priest were puzzled, wondering what would come of this. Then someone came and said, look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people. At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. Having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, he said. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as prince and savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed them, men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, all his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. Hey now. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. Amen. Yes, yes. That's the book of Acts chapter 5 reading. Wow. The more you read the word, the more powerful it hits. You know what I'm saying? It just leaves you astonished. It really does. So as we review the book of Acts chapter 5, it goes more into detail about the story of Ananias and Sapphira. And you got to remember, like, the believers, they were all sharing their possessions and selling it and giving it to the apostles' feet and looking out for one another. Everybody was unselfish and giving freely and being generous and courteous and showing kindness. But the problem with Ananias and Sapphira, they were stingy and they were greedy and they were hiding some of the money for themselves. They weren't freely givers. They weren't, being obedient to God, his spirit, and the fellowship and the way they was doing, going about it. So, Peter confronts Ananias and says that Satan filled his heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep money for himself. Man, that's crazy. So that's wild. So, wow. It says Satan filled up Ananias' heart. Man, our hearts better be with the Lord from now. I'm telling you, man, when a lot of these people be doing the things that they be doing, Satan really fills up their hearts and gives them those desires and those urges. You know what I'm saying? And people just go along with it. You know, the love of money, man, greed, selfishness, corruption, pride, lying, deceit, all those stuff, man, you know. And you see how when that happened, Ananias, he just dropped dead, you know, just right in front of them. And when people saw that, they got scared of it as well. And what Peter tells Ananias, too, is, you know, he was saying, like, what made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. So God sees everything, man. You know, God sees everything. When God pours out his Holy Spirit upon his people will be able to see the things and the deceit and the deception and what have you. All right. So, and then from there, Ananias just heard him, just died, just dropped dead, just collapsed, what have you. And then his wife knew the knowledge of it too, Sapphira, and she died too, because she lied and went along with it. So that's how the book of Acts chapter 5 starts off. And then it goes more further into detail, about the apostles healing more people, doing more miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers gathering together and increasing in number. And bringing, you know, they're healing the sick people with their beds and their mats or what have you. And they're all being healed. And those who was having evil, tormented spirits as well, they were all being healed also. And also the apostles were also being persecuted. All right. They were thrown into the public jail. And then also what happened was the angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Amen. So that's just very powerful and beautiful how the Lord could just send out his angels to, you know, get us free and help us in these situations we get caught up in. So they were able to go back to the temple, courts and to teach, praise, worship, heal, and all those different things, and gather the people as well. And then when the guards of the jail, the prisoner came back to look for them, they were astonished because they couldn't find him. So they went back to them and approached them and confronted them and all those different things. And as they approached them, Peter and the apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than men." And I just love that phrase so much, man, because, you know, us as a people, as a society, we've been so indoctrinated and brainwashed and controlled and engineered to just always listen to people and authority figures and man so much and listen to this person and that person, this influencer and that celebrity and this public figure. We have to listen to God, people. We have to listen to the Lord. We have to listen to the Most High. All right. Always listen to God. Never listen to man, okay? People lie every day. People mislead one another every day. The blind leading the blind. There's deception and misinformation and trickery going all over. So you got to have that You got to have discernment, people, in the spiritual battle, in the spiritual warfare. And you got to have that obedience for the Lord. You got to have that faithfulness to the Lord and always obey the Lord and trust in him and his voice and his words. Amen. I just love how bold they were about it. So they're about to be put to death and everything. But, you know, they couldn't really put hands on them because of all the people there. And the Pharisee kind of stood up and kind of helped them out, just telling them to leave them alone. You don't want to put your hands on them. It's going to cause more problems. So they were all let go. And then they were praising and rejoiced about it and what have you. And it says the apostle left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. Amen. So that's very beautiful, all right? These people, these priests, these officials, these authority figures, they kept trying to take away the name of Jesus, the power and authority of it, and they kept pressing them to not teach in that name. That just shows you how much the name of Jesus triggers people, how much, you know what I mean, how people get so worked up over it, amen? That name has so much power and weight to it. You'll die for that name, amen? You're going to live for the Lord. You're going to die for the Lord. You're going to really go about that gospel, amen? So let us all be martyrs for the Most High. Let us all be martyrs for his son too. You know what I'm saying? Let us go all out with it. Amen. Let us be bold and courageous forevermore. All right. So that is the book of Acts chapter 5 reading. Now, let us go into the books of Acts chapter 6. All right. The book of Acts chapter 6. Here we go. Oh, wait, hold on. Before I go into Acts chapter 6, my bad. I just wanted to read a specific verse where it says the book of Acts chapter 5, verse 30, it says, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. So a lot of people sometimes they tend to have like an argument or a confusion about how did Christ really die? Was he hanged on a tree? Did he really die on a cross? All these different opinions and views. I put to you like this. For me, the book of Isaiah 53 sums it up the best way as Isaiah prophesied about it. Whether he died on a cross, a tree, Calvary, it's all similar material, wood anyway, right? So let us always just appreciate the fact that he died for our sins, all right? And that let's not be too technical about the details, you know what I mean? Because every scripture translation is different. Everybody goes about it differently as well. So there's a lot to speculate about that. But at the end of the day, he died for our sins. That's nothing to really speculate. The details is what people argue and speculate about, but him dying for our sins, that's not debatable, amen? The blood still works. The blood, by the blood of Jesus, by his name, we know what time it is. Amen. Yes, yes, y'all. So now let us go into the book of Acts chapter 6, okay? The book of Acts chapter 6. Here we go. The choosing of the seven. In those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Greek Jews among them complained about the Hebrew Jews because their widows were being overlooked in daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose seven men from among you who are known to be full of the spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread, the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Stephen seized. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue, of the freedmen, as it was called, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Sicilia and Asia. These men began to argue with Stephen, but they could not stand up against his wisdom or the spirit by whom he spoke. Then they secretly persuaded some men to say, we have heard Stephen speak words of blasphemy against Moses and against God. So they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law. They seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They produced false witnesses who testified, "This fellow never stopped speaking against this holy place and against the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs Moses handed down to us." All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Interesting. Okay, that's the book of Acts chapter 6 reading, okay? So things get more interesting. All right, so there's a little division, a little complaining between the Greek Jews and Hebrew Jews, and they were all just having their disagreements about widows being overlooked in their daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and made an agreement to not neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. It wouldn't be right for them to do that. So they chose 7 men who are full of the Spirit and wisdom, and they will take the responsibility, and it'll be given to them to give attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. So they proposed the whole, they were all happy about the proposal, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. They chose Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicolas from Antioch to look over this responsibility. So the word of God had spread, and the numbers of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. And then Stephen, he was a real righteous man, doing the works, and he basically got set up. He got lied about. False witnesses rised up against him. They were hating on him, jealous of him. They just really had something against the brother, you know. So when you're really doing God's will, you're really doing Father's business, you're really in the Spirit, the people are going to really rise up against you, but you got to stay strong through that, okay? And if it goes into further detail as when they were looking at his face, that his face was like the face of an angel. So that's a very powerful spiritual encounter he's probably having, all right? So that was the book of Acts chapter 6 reading. Let's continue the book of Acts chapter 7, all right? Acts chapter 7, here we go. Stephen's speech to the Sanhedrin. Then the high priest asked him, "Are these charges true?" To this he replied, "Brothers and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. He leave your country and your people, God said, and go to the land I will show you. So he left the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran. After the death of his father, God sent him to this land where you are now living. He gave him no inheritance here, not even a foot of a ground. But God promised him that he and his descendants after him would possess the land. Even though at that time Abraham had no child, God spoke to him in this way, 'Your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves.' God said, 'And afterward they will come out of that country and worship me in this place.' Then he gave Abraham the covenant of circumcision, and Abraham became the father of Isaac and circumcised him 8 days after his birth. Later, Isaac became the father of Jacob, and Jacob became the father of 12 patriarchs. Because the patriarchs were jealous of Joseph, they sold him as a slave into Egypt. But God was with him and rescued him from all his troubles. He gave Joseph wisdom and enabled him to gain the goodwill of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So he made him ruler over Egypt and all his palace. Then a famine struck all Egypt and Canaan, bringing great suffering, and our fathers could not find food. When Jacob heard that there was grain in Egypt, he sent our fathers on their first visit. On their second visit, Joseph told his brothers who he was, and Pharaoh learned about Joseph's family. After this, Joseph sent for his father, Jacob, and his whole family, 75 in all. Then Jacob went down to Egypt, where he and our fathers died. Their bodies were brought back to Shechem and placed in the tomb that Abraham had brought from the sons of Hamor, at Shechem for a certain sum of money. As the time drew near for God to fulfill his promise to Abraham, the number of our people in Egypt greatly increased. Then another king who knew nothing about Joseph became ruler of Egypt. He dealt treacherously with our people and oppressed our forefathers by forcing them to throw out their newborn babies so that they would die. At that time, Moses was born, and he was no ordinary child. For 3 months he was cared for in his father's house. When he was placed outside, Pharaoh's daughter took him and brought him up as her own son. Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, that was powerful in speech and action. When Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his fellow Israelites. He saw one of them being mistreated by an Egyptian, so he went to his defense and avenged by killing the Egyptian. Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them, but they did not. The next day, Moses came upon two Israelites who were fighting. He tried to reconcile them by saying, "Men, you are brothers. Why do you want to hurt each other?" But the man who was mistreating the other pushed Moses aside and said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" When Moses heard this, he fled to Midian, where he settled as a foreigner and had two sons. After 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to Moses in the flames of a burning bush in the desert near Mount Sinai. When he saw this, he was amazed at the sight. As he went over to look more closely, he heard the Lord's voice. "I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Moses trembled with fear and did not dare to look. Then the Lord said to him, "Take off your sandals. The place where you are standing is holy ground. I have indeed seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their groaning and have come down to set them free. Now come, I will send you back to Egypt." This is the same Moses whom they had rejected with the words, "Who made you ruler and judge?" He was sent to be their ruler and deliverer by God himself through the angel who appeared to him in the bush. He led them out of Egypt and did wonders and miraculous signs in Egypt at the Red Sea and for 40 years in the desert. This is that Moses who told the Israelites, "God will send you a prophet like me from your own people." He was in the assembly in the desert with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai. And with our fathers, he received living words to pass on to us. But our fathers refused to obey him. Instead, they rejected him and in their hearts turned back to Egypt. They told Aaron, "Make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who led us out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." That was the time they made an idol in the form of a golden calf. They brought sacrifices to it and held a celebration in honor of what their hands had made. But God turned away and gave them over to the worship of the heavenly bodies. This agrees with what is written in the book of the prophets. "Did you bring me sacrifices and offerings 40 years in the desert, O house of Israel? You have lifted up the shrine of Molech, and the star of your god, Raphan, the idols you made to worship. Therefore, I will send you into exile beyond Babylon. Our forefathers had the tabernacle of the testimony with them in the desert. It had been made as God directed Moses, according to the pattern he had seen. Having received the tabernacle, our fathers under Joshua brought it with them when they took the land from the nations God drove out before them. It remained in the land until the time of David, who enjoyed God's favor and asked that he might provide a dwelling place for the God of Jacob. But it was Solomon who built the house for him. However, the Most High does not live in houses made by men, as the prophet says, 'Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me?' says the Lord. Or will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things? You stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you are just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your fathers did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one. And now you have betrayed and murdered him. You who have received the law that was put into effect through angels, but have not obeyed it." The stoning of Stephen. When they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." At this, they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he fell asleep. That is the book of Acts chapter 7 reading. Wow. Real intense chapter right there. Very intense reading. So as we review the book of Acts chapter 7, as Stephen is basically being held up by the Sanhedrin as he has to testify, he's basically going further into detail about going all the way back to Abraham and, you know, how God's glory appeared on Abraham. And, you know, he's going all the way back to the stories. He goes into talking about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and he goes talking about Moses. And Stephen was just basically getting at the fact that, look at how y'all treated Moses. Look at how y'all treated the prophets. Look at how y'all treated Christ. So he's basically like pressing them about their own hate and jealousy towards someone who's trying to help them that God's trying to use, basically, because God used Abraham. God used Moses. God used Jesus, obviously. And Stephen is basically kind of like saying, y'all going to do this to me, and this is a repetitive. This ain't nothing new. Y'all did it to Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. Y'all going to do it to me, too. So when they got very angry at that, at Stephen, as they're getting angry with him, Stephen was actually able to see God and Jesus. He was able to see a vision. He was able to see the heavens. He saw the heavens opened up. And they dragged him out of there, man, and they stoned him to death, man. Very gruesome death. But as Stephen was getting stoned, he was just saying, like, you know, just, Lord, take my spirit and what have you, you know, let it be, let your will be done and let it go through with it, you know. And it just shows you the things that we're going to deal with for the name of Jesus, what we're going to go through for the gospel. Amen. So got to be strong and bold, people, and always be firm in the Lord and his word, no matter who's in front of you or who's oppressing you. Amen. Or who's opposing you. All right. So I would like to read this in commentary scripture that's within the book of Acts chapter 7 as well. God is infinite. The book of Acts chapter 7 verse 49. Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or where will my resting place be? All right, so that is the book of Acts chapter 7 reading, all right? And we'll just wrap it up from there, all right? We'll just go from the book of Acts chapters 1 through 7's reading for today. We'll continue the Bible reading series throughout the next episodes or what have you, all right? It's getting close to the weekend, so you know how we go about the news roundups and the church notes, all right? But that was a very excellent read, all right? The book of Acts is a very awesome read, and I just pray that you all read the word for yourselves and that you get in the word, and that you also be doers of the word, all right? And always take these things and examples that was given to you and practice these things, apply to your heart. You know, ask the Lord for the Holy Spirit. Ask the Lord to show you visions and dreams and to prophesize, doing his will, doing his works, praising him, worshiping, gathering more people to the Lord. You know, when you read the beginning chapters of Acts, it talks about how people kept increasing in their faith, how more people kept getting saved, more people kept repenting, more people got baptized. Amen. So we got to increase the numbers of believers. We have to increase the numbers of those who come into the faith. Amen. Let us set good examples, all right, and go from there, all right? So what I love to do as I close out is give all the praise, honor, glory to the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and praise his only begotten Son who died for our sins. Amen. Yes, yes, y'all. So here we go. Hallelujah. Yes, yes. He is the hope for humanity. Yes, yes, y'all. He is the Adam, the second Adam, the last Adam, the advocate, the almighty, true, living God, the Alpha and Omega. Amen. Amen. The apostle of our profession, the arm of the Lord, the atoning sacrifice for our sins, the author and finisher of our faith, the author and perfecter of our faith, the author of life, the author of salvation, the beginning and the end, the beginning of creation of God, the beloved Son, the blessed and only potentate, the blessed and only ruler, the branch, the bread of God, the bread of life, the bridegroom, the capstone, the captain of salvation, the chief cornerstone, the chief shepherd, Christ, the Christ of God, the consolation of Israel, the cornerstone, the counselor, wonderful counselor, the creator, the dayspring, the deliverer, the desire of the nations, the door, the elect of God, Emmanuel, the eternal life, the everlasting Father. Excuse me, the faith and true witness, faithful and true, the faithful witness, the first and the last, the first begotten, the firstborn from the dead, firstborn over all creation, the forerunner, the gate, the glory of the Lord, God, the good shepherd, the great high priest, the great shepherd, the head of the church, the heir of all things, the high priest, holy and true, the holy one, the hope of glory, the horn of salvation, the I am that I am, the image of God, Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus, the judge of Israel, the judge, king eternal. He is the king of Israel. Amen. He is the king of kings. Hallelujah. He is the king of kings and Lord of lords. Hosanna, Hosanna. Mm-hmm. He's the King of Saints, King of the Ages, King of the Jews, the King, the Lamb of God, the Lamb without blemish, the last Adam, the lawgiver, the leader, commander, the life of the world, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the living one, the living stone, the Lord is my banner, the Lord is my portion, the Lord is my rock, the Lord is my salvation, the Lord is my strength, the Lord is my shield, the Lord is my deliverer, the Lord is my fortress, the Lord is my everything, the Lord is my high tower. He is my protection. He is my guidance, my everything, y'all. Yes, yes. He's the Lord, our righteousness, the Lord. The Lord, our God, is one. The Lord, Yahweh, Yahuwah, Yahweh Shai, Yahweh, Ben Yahweh, Yahai, Yashai, Yeshua, HaMashiach, Barakathah, Shalom, Shalom, Yeshua, Elohim, Yehosha, Yehusha, Ahai, Yashiah, the consuming fire, the Father of lights, the Father of mercies, the Father of the fatherless, the Father of widows. Yes, yes. He is the God of heaven and earth. Yes, yes, y'all. His son sits at the right hand of him. The great physician can heal all things. The carpenter can fix all things. Yes, yes. The government rests on his shoulders. Amen. Hallelujah, y'all. He is the Lord of all, the Lord of glory, the Lord of lords, the man from heaven, the man of sorrows, the mediator of the new covenant, the mediator, the messenger of the covenant, the Messiah, the mighty God, the mighty one, the morning star, the Nazarene, the offspring of David, the only begotten son of God, our great God and Savior, our holiness, our spiritual husband, our Passover, our protection, our redemption, our righteousness, our sacrifice, Passover lamb, the power of God, the precious cornerstone, the Prince of Kings, the Prince of Life, the Prince of Peace, the prophet, the redeemer, the resurrection of life, the resurrection, the resurrector. He is the life, the revelation, the revelator, the righteous branch, the righteous one, the radiant one, the perfect example, the rock, the root of David, the rose of Sharon, the ruler of God's creation, the ruler of the kings of the earth, the savior, the seed of woman, the shepherd and bishop of souls, the Shiloh, the son of Abraham, the son of David, the son of God, the son of man, son of the blessed, son of the most high God, the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, the son of righteousness, the just one, the one mediator, the stone the builders rejected, the true bread, the true God, the true light, the true vine. Yes, he is the truth. Amen. He is the way. Amen. He is the way, truth, and life, the wisdom of God, the witness, the wonderful counselor, the word of God, the word of life, the word of Yahuwah, the word of Elohim, the word of Yeshua HaMashiach, the word of Yahweh Shai, the word of Yehosha Yehusha. Yes, the word of Yeshua. Yes, yes, the word of Yahai Yeshaya, the word of the consuming fire. Amen. Yes, yes, y'all, we touch and agree. We serve an awesome creator, and the son is even amazing for dying for our sins. Hallelujah. Yes, yes, y'all, boast in the Lord, boast in the Lord, boast in the Lord. His son is so amazing. Yes, yes, he's the seed of Abraham, promise, seed of Adam, humanity, seed of David, kingship, seed of God, deity, seed of Jacob, nationality, seed of Judah, tribe, seed of Shem, race, seed of woman, prophecy. Amen. Yes, yes, y'all, we touch and agree, man. The Lord is just too awesome, too amazing to describe. Unlimited creator, omnipotent, omnipresent. Amen. He's everywhere. He's watching all of us. Hallelujah. Give him some praise, honor, and glory, and rejoice always. Rejoice always. Amen. Bless the person trusting the Lord. All right. So there you have it. All right. That's the word for today. Just the book of Acts chapter 1-7 reading. We will continue onward on the next episode. All right. So stay blessed and strong, people. I pray to God that whoever listens to this message, I pray that you repent, get baptized, start your life forth from the Most High. You get delivered and set free, freedom and liberty in Christ. You do Father's business and Father's will forever. You stay connected to the Lord always. You stay in prayer. You be guided by the Holy Spirit, and you enjoy your life the best way you can to help as much people as you can throughout your journey as well. Amen. What I love to do as I close out is give you all this priestly blessing on the way out. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom. I'm Jarvis Kingston. I got much love for y'all. God bless y'all. Peace.